Our God is a miracle-working God. The problem many Christians have, they are not experiencing the miracle-working God because they have caught, they have captured, they have kept God in a box, in their box of theology, in their own box of philosophy, in their own box of thinking. They are limiting God. Now, I'm not saying that God is limited. He is unlimited, but by your lack of faith, by your own ways of thinking, you and I may limit the way God acts in our lives. Today I'm here to set you free from those limitations, to help you break out and to experience the abundance and the blessings of God. Listen, God is interested in you being blessed. God is interested in you being healed. God is interested in you experiencing the grace of God and experiencing the Holy Spirit. It is God's desire. God is not stingy. He is ready to give. God is a gracious God. He desires to bless people. That is why he created this beautiful world full of abundance of life. Wherever you go, wherever you look, you see life. People, many people overlook God's presence in the nature. He has shown to mankind his desire. He wants abundance. He wants blessing. The problem is when religion sets in, when people have been to church for too long, and they have started believing all sorts of religious ideas. They have bought into false theology. And then they limit God. But let me tell you, God is unlimited. Allow God to break out today. Now, the first time I preached on this topic, I preached about Elisha and how Elisha had disciples who followed him. It was a prophetic school. And one of the disciples died, and his wife, the widow, came, and she told Elisha, Elisha, listen, they are going to enslave my two sons. We are in debt. And then Elisha gives her a very interesting advice. He tells her to get the little oil she has and to bring as many jars as possible. Ask if all the neighbors then bring all the empty jars and to pour out the little oil she had into those jars. That's exactly what she did. And she poured out her own oil into the foreign jars, and she was pouring into the jars of her neighbors, and the jars all filled up until she told one of her sons, bring another one. And the son told her, there is no more jar left. And then the oil stopped. I mean, how foolish. I mean, if she had brought all the jars of the whole town, they would have been filled. But because her containers were limited, her faith was limited, she was not able to experience the full abundance of God. Now, you are experiencing God on your level of faith. The place you are spiritually is the place you are at right now because of your level of faith. The more faith you have, the more you can experience El Shaddai, God unlimited. Now, last time I began speaking about God's abundance and that God unlimited wants you to prosper. That was true in the Old Testament. How much more in the New Testament? God wants his people. Actually, God wants the whole world to prosper. There are enough resources on this planet to feed more than 8 billion people. Many more. God has made this planet rich. And God wants every person to be blessed, have sufficient food, and beyond, extra. God wants to be blessed and to enjoy life. That is God's original will. Of course, we know sin happens and that the curses were released, but once you are in Christ Jesus, every curse is broken. You are set free from the yoke of poverty. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you will suffer poverty. But the moment you enter the kingdom of God, you become a child of God. You become a child of El Shaddai. Prosperity is released. And you'll receive according to your limit, not God's limit. God is unlimited. His name is El Shaddai. But you will receive as much as you can carry, as much as your faith containers can allow him to pour into. Now, we spoke about God feeding 2.5 million people in the desert, of course, the people of Israel, for about 40 years. God was El Shaddai. He provided for them. And he provided not just water, he provided manna and even meat. The question was not, is there enough bread for 40 years for 2.55 million people? The question is, could you believe? And there was a test. God put a test also in the system. He said, listen, when you go out to collect the manna, do not collect for the other day, because you have to trust that next day there will be again sufficient food for the next day. But you know, some people did not trust God. They collected more than they needed. They kept some manna for the next day, and the whole manna was rotten. Now, God wants you to trust Him. And if you trust God, if God is your source, He will provide more than enough. The question I want to ask time and time again today is, how great is your faith? Do not limit God. God is unlimited. In the Old Testament, we know God was providing for the people of Israel, but look at the New Testament. How much more will He do so in the New Testament? I want us to look also at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 from verse 17. The Bible says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Listen, he reminded his disciples. He said, listen, why are you concerned about bread? Why are you concerned about not having enough food? Didn't you experience the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men plus women and children? Didn't you experience this feeding of the 4,000? Didn't you experience the surplus, the abundance? You, all of you, carried 12 basketfuls home. You carried 7 basketfuls home. Don't you remember, I am a God of abundance. How dare you talk about not having enough bread? I believe many times Christians, born-again people, are bringing shame to the name of God. And they are behaving as if they are Gentiles, as if they are not trusting God. They are talking like atheists. Oh yeah, this is getting more expensive. It's true. And this is happening. And then how shall we survive? Listen, I am connected to God's economy. I am connected to the economy of the kingdom of God. My God is called El Shaddai. Yeah, but brother, I believe in God. But listen, it is according to your faith. How much can you believe? How great is your faith? How much can you carry? God has abundance. Listen, my God in heaven, I mean, the streets there are made of gold. The gates are made of the mother of pearls. God is doing all those things. God is rich, and He wants you to be rich and blessed. How much can you believe? How great is your faith? Is God unlimited in your life? It is time to let Him become God, unlimited El Shaddai in your lives. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Again, I want us to look at the nature. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus was rebuking His disciples, and He was telling them, your thinking is not logical. Why are you concerned about clothing? Why are you afraid that you'll not have enough clothes? The God who makes flowers more beautiful than the best clothes of Solomon, and they last for just a day, that God who believes in abundance, the God who just weighs things for beauty, that God will take care of you, Jesus told His disciples. He is ready. Just imagine. Now, sometimes I like to go hiking into the forest, especially at springtime, as you walk out, and then you see meadows of flowers, full of flowers. And you wonder whether any person has ever seen those flowers. Because if you go off the track and to certain places, I mean, people don't go there. But I had the privilege of seeing those flowers. But what if nobody in the whole world would ever see those flowers? I believe God would still create them. Abundance, surplus. God is a God of more than enough. His name is El Shaddai. So if God is, let me say it, put it this way, if God is wasting his creative power on flowers who just last for one day, how much more will He take care of your clothing? So Christ was rebuking them for their lack of understanding or for their lack of faith. How many today have worries, anxieties? How will I survive these daring and terrible times? How will I go through the crisis? Listen, do not trust in political systems. Do not trust in economy. Trust in El Shaddai. He is more than enough. And he can give you a harvest, a hundredfold harvest in the times of drought and starvation. That's what he did in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So our God is a God who is ready to give more than enough. Have faith in God. Stop limiting God. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you read Christian magazines, you begin to wonder, what is wrong with these people? They are limiting God because they say, okay, yeah, well, God can do this and this, but there are certain areas we have to work on this ourselves. God cannot do this. Like, for example, no, in the area of psyche and counseling. Oh, God can heal people, maybe. Maybe he does not sometimes, but, you know, psychological problems, we have to work on them and we have to go for counseling. No, I believe in a God who is unlimited. He can take care of health issues, he can heal you from cancer, and he can heal your psyche, your soul, whatever it is. Do not limit God. Hallelujah. Let's get back to prosperity. Now, in the Old Testament, God was ready and willing to provide. How much more in the New Testament? I want us to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 8. Now, this is under the New Covenant. This is Paul writing. He says, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. That sounds like El Shaddai. He says, he is able to bless you, and not just bless you. He puts an adverb, he says, bless you abundantly, with more than enough. Hallelujah. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. Listen again. He says, you will be enriched in every way that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. While God was doing the provision part in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, how much more will he provide for his children? Who are not just in the covenant, of course we are in the covenant, but we are part of his family. We are not just a covenant people like the people of Israel were, and God promised them, by a covenant, I'll provide for you. Now, we are in the New Testament. Listen, we are in the era of grace. Now, we have become members of the family of God. We are called sons of God. If you're a woman, you will be called the daughter of God. We are children of God, not grandchildren, not stepchildren. We are members of God's family. Now, how can we dare to tell anybody that God will not take care of us? Our God is El Shaddai. He loves us. We are his children. We are his precious children, and he provides for us. And now, Apostle Paul is making sure that the church in Corinth does not doubt. He is emphasizing and re-emphasizing and re-emphasizing time and again with very big terms. Let me read again, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, even in times of crisis, even in times of starvation, even in times of war, at all times, having all that you need. That means all your needs are met, basics. And then let's move on. You will abound in every good work. So what Paul is telling us about God is God will provide everything for us. Every time, all the time. And he'll provide so much that our needs will be met. And once our needs are met, we now will be having extra resources to bless other people. We will be able to abound in every good work. Can you hear the words? He says, not just you'll have some extra for good works. He says, you will abound. That means you'll do more than enough. You'll do extra and you will do extra in every good work. Wow. That speaks of abundance. A God who always provides all things, and then once your net needs are met, he says, I'll give you so much, you'll be able to provide for others around you. We should be the source as Christians who are connected to the kingdom of God. We should be the source for unbelievers. Hallelujah. Riches should come through us. We are the children of Abraham. Abraham was rich. He had a covenant with God. I am a child of God. Technically, I'm in a better position than even Abraham was. And I have the right, I have access to heaven and to the riches in heaven. The question is not whether or not God wants you to be blessed. The question is not whether or not God wants you to be rich. The question is how much can you believe? How great is your faith? Because God, he is unlimited. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way. And Paul is putting no conditions here. He doesn't say, oh, you might be, it may. He says, you will be enriched in every way. And it will not just be for your own pockets. It will overflow into generosity. You have enough for yourself and for people around you. And the beautiful thing is, the more you give, the more the flow continues. And the more you give, the bigger the channel becomes. She was pouring, and the more she poured, the more was coming out. The problem with the woman who was pouring the oil was not the lack of oil, it was the lack of vessels. The problem today is not the lack of resources, it's not the lack of blessings. The problem today is a lack of faith. You must have vessels of faith which are able to contain the blessings of God. God has done everything. He has prepared everything. He has allowed his only begotten son to die. I mean, he paid every price for every sickness, every sin. He broke every chain. He destroyed every curse. Everything was done. Once he was finished, he said, it is finished. Now it's our part to receive the grace of God by faith. Faith is the key. If you go with me to 3 John 2, it says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. He says, it's a wish, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's part of the Bible. It was a wish. It says, dear friend, I pray or I wish that you may enjoy good health. Good health is of God. God wants you to be healthy. Believe it. Say it. God wants me to be healthy. Just confess it right now. And secondly, that all may go well with you. That's another term another word of shalom, for shalom. You can say, oh, everything goes very well. You can also say that's shalom. When everything goes well, you have entered your shalom. Your tummy is full, your fridge is full, there's money everywhere, there's a good car park, there's a house. I mean, your wife is beautiful, your children are healthy, everything is just fine. Everything is going very well. That is shalom. So it is God's desire for you to enjoy good health and for you to enjoy a life which is well. And then it must be in accordance with your spiritual progress. That's where many people miss it. I believe sometimes God is not giving resources to people because they are not spiritually mature yet. They are not spiritually fit to receive that amount of money, that amount of blessing. Because sometimes when God blesses you abundantly, which he wants to do, he desires, you'll be impressed more by the blessing than by the God who gave the blessing. And then you start idolizing the blessing instead of worshiping God. And then that is why something God withholds stuff from us for a while until we mature spiritually. How many people have shipwrecked in their faith because they had resources but no spirituality? But listen, as you grow in the Spirit, God will bless you more abundantly financially. As you grow in the Spirit, in your understanding of God, God will release more resources to you. Because the more you receive, the more responsibility you carry. But it is God's will for you to be prosperous, to be blessed. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. All right, that sounds like, well, that's like, Paul, you must be a poverty preacher. because you are telling people, you know, not put your trust in the riches of this present world, and be careful, don't become arrogant. It's all right. It looks like Paul is looking down on wealth, as if prosperity is not our portion. It looks like. But then as you finish the sentence, you'll be surprised. Let me read again. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, to put their hope in El Shaddai, to put their hope in God unlimited, who, now listen, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Paul says, listen, if you have your priorities right, the blessing will come, it will not harm you. The blessing will come, it will not destroy you. The blessing will come, it will not destroy your family or your marriage. The blessing will come and you'll be spiritual enough to carry that blessing. He says, do not trust, do not put your hope in wealth. Do not make wealth and riches your God, but put your trust in God, in El Shaddai. And then he explains how he experienced God. He says, my God, my El Shaddai, my God unlimited. He provides, not anyhow, he richly provides. When he provides, he gives an extra. That's his character. God wants to give you an extra. By the way, if God was going to a restaurant, he would tip people. I'm telling you, he would tip them. God likes tipping. He gives you extra. Take this, it's for you. Why? It's just for you. I love you. God bless you. That's what God will do. Anyway, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now listen, you'd say God provides for us. That will be enough for us. He said, no. If you trust God, he will richly provide. All right, good. He'll richly provide. But Paul said, wait a minute. He'll richly provide, and that's not enough. He'll say, he'll provide for your enjoyment. Wow. He'll not just provide for you to just survive, to get all your carbs and all that you need for your body, or your vitamins or your minerals, you know, and then that's enough now. He is surviving, and let him just move on. No, God says, I will bless you. You will eat. You'll have more than enough. You'll enjoy. God wants you to have a life of enjoyment. Now, if that's not the case, if God doesn't want you to enjoy life, if God doesn't want you to have joy, why then has God invented heaven? Heaven is a place of joy, of abundance, of overflow. That is God's final destination for his believers. That is God's desire for humanity. God put Adam and Eve in a garden, in a beautiful place, in a place of abundance. That's his will. So God wants abundance. He wants riches. He wants blessings. And not just to meet your needs, but for you to enjoy them. That's his expressed will. So Paul says, trust in God, worship God, and he'll bless you. You'll be surprised. Now, why is it not happening many times in our lives? Lack of faith. The blessings are there. Prosperity is promised. Prosperity is released. But we do not have the vessels of faith. The vessels of faith. How big, how great is your faith container? I'm telling you, many will be surprised when they once enter heaven to see that God had so many blessings in store for them. They never received those blessings because they had no faith. Maybe we believe God for small things, we will receive small things. Maybe you believe God for bigger things, you receive bigger things. But if you believe God for great things, you receive great things, because God is unlimited. As you love him, as you worship him, he'll provide for you, he'll bless you. And also, God will heal you. Healing is his promise, and he paid for your healing already. Everybody, I believe, who reads the scriptures has come across 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, or by his stripes, you have been healed. God says, it is done. My son has been beaten. And by his stripes, you have been healed. The healing has been released. It is available. There's a stream of healing flowing right now. Even to you watching right now, you can be healed right now. The stream of healing has been released 2,000 years ago. Healing is as readily available as is salvation. You can be healed right now. It is right here available for you. You can receive it. But the question is, how much can you believe? How great is your faith? Do you believe in a God unlimited? A God who can heal of cancer? Who can make the lame walk and the mute speak and the deaf hear? A God who can make the blind see? Do you believe it? If you believe, you can receive it. It is all there. God is not surprised by your sickness. God is not surprised by your problems. God is not surprised by your poverty. He already provided before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. Everything has been done. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, had been slaughtered 2,000 years ago on that cross. He paid for everything. He finished and he paid every bill. Now by faith, you can receive. It is all yours. Today, I want to speak to somebody watching out right there, and I want to talk to you because you've heard about God. You've heard about Jesus. Maybe religion is in your way, and you hate people from church because they behave themselves so strange. And I mean, forget about it. Just trust in Jesus. He is your Savior. He is your healer, and He is your provider. Don't look at religious people. Look at Jesus because He dearly loves you. And everything He has for you, every blessing is already released. It is now time to believe and to receive. I want you to join His family today. He is loving you and He wants to forgive your sins and He wants you to become a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. If you're ready, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I turn away from sin. And I will follow you for the rest of my life. You are my Savior. You are my God. And today I make a decision to follow you and you only. From today, there will be no other gods in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and for forgiving my sins. And therefore I know I am the righteousness of God. I have eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just pray this prayer, your sins have been forgiven, and in God's eyes, you are as if you have never sinned. You are the righteousness of God. Let me quickly pray for those of you who are sick and who are poor. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, touch everybody watching right now. Father, I pray, whoever is in sickness, whoever is in pain, sickness come out, pain come out in the name of Jesus. And I break the spirit of poverty and of depression. And I release blessings and prosperity over your life in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. We believe it, we receive it. It is done in Jesus' name.